Welcome back. It's exactly 6 minutes past the hour. Pleased to report we have a wonderful return engagement. The last time we visited, Dr. Rojas Marte put on an absolute masterclass on a very, very important topic within the realm of cardiology. And I know in advance today is no exception. So on our Hurley in the Morning Newsmaker Hotline on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents is Dr. Jairis Rojas Marte, a triple threat board certified cardiologist, board certified in advanced heart failure, transplant cardiology, cardiovascular disease, and internal medicine. And maybe I spoke too soon. That sounds like the quadruple threat to me, not three. After medical school, Dr. Rojas Marte completed a residency in internal medicine in Brooklyn, New York, at Maimonides Medical Center. He completed fellowship training in advanced heart failure and transplant cardiology at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida, and cardiovascular disease at Rutgers University Medical School in Newark, New Jersey. Dr. Rojas Marte's special interests include advanced heart failure. That's going to come in very handy today with our topic. Left ventricle assist device, the LVAD, and heart transplantation, pulmonary hypertension, mechanical circulatory support. I mean, the resume is incredible. And Dr. Rojas Marte has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed publications and participated in many clinical research projects. And just one last little mini commercial for the distinguished Dr. Jairis Rojas Marte. If you go to the Deborah Heart and Lung Center website, demanddeborah.org, and they have wonderful bios on all of the doctors. If you go to Dr. Rojas Marte's bio, he has very, very understandable videos that you can watch. You can learn a whole lot. And for the next half hour, we're going to all learn a lot together. Welcome back. So glad we're having this time together. Good to be with you, Doctor.
Hi, Henry. Thank you for inviting me again.
Absolutely.
Very happy to be here with you.
And we're happy to have you. It's our pleasure. So the topic is understanding and managing heart failure. You're the perfect person to be doing this with. Let's get right out swinging here. We will not hide the lead. What is heart failure and how prevalent is heart failure?
Yeah, that's a very important topic these days as heart failure is growing. In America. Now, heart failure, it doesn't mean, just to clarify something, heart failure doesn't mean that the heart stops or that the person is dying at the moment or within weeks or months, although that could be something that could happen in more advanced stages. But heart failure means it's the end, the resultant pathway is the final pathway of many cardiac issues like high blood pressure, blockages in the arteries of the heart, heart attacks, arrhythmias, all these issues, especially if left untreated over time, lead to the development of heart failure, which means basically that the heart is not able to keep up with the body's needs, either because it's pumping too weak or it's become too stiff. And it's now building up too much pressure in the heart, and that causes the symptoms and the downstream effects of heart failure. So basically, it's the in more proper term would be heart dysfunction, not failure, but it is a growing problem in the United States. Close to 7 million people have heart failure, like the form that we treat with medication, but approximately one third of the U.S. population are at risk of developing heart failure.
Wow!
And which is are very significant numbers.
Big numbers.
If we can treat those conditions and take preventive measures. In healthy people, in people who have common conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, if we treat those aggressively early in life, we can prevent the development of heart failure in the future. It's not something that happens 1 or 2 years after someone has been diagnosed with high blood pressure. It happens 10, 20, 15, 30 years down the line. So that's why it's so important to prevent or take care of these issues early in life, and for healthy people to have healthy lifestyles to not have those conditions in the first place.
Dr. Rojas, go ahead. Please continue. Sorry. Please continue.
No, no. Go ahead.
I was going to follow up with that, Dr. Rojas Marte, that if you have heart failure, can you do anything, meaning the patient, you know, probably all the things you should have been doing before, but can you, are you, once with heart failure, is it always with heart failure, or could your condition improve where you're no longer in heart failure?
Yes, that's a very important question, and that needs clarification, because people think that heart failure is a death sentence,
yeah.
And it's not for the most part. So there are transient conditions that can cause transient heart failure. Very rare. It's not the majority of the cases. Like, for example, people who have very acute and severe thyroid conditions, like thyroid storms, which is when the thyroid gland is overactive or when it's hypoactive and it presents in a very severe manner. Those are the smallest number of cases. Most of the cases are more chronic, more insidious, and therefore when they develop, it's unlikely to reverse the condition and make the heart go back to a normal state. But the condition can be treated. It can be well controlled with medications, with lifestyle changes, with diet and monitoring of the weight, use of diuretics when needed. But the best treatment of patients who have symptomatic heart failure, patients who have already issues of heart failure, fluid buildup, fatigue, shortness of breath, have been hospitalized, the best treatment is to use the medications that have been shown in clinical trials to improve the symptoms and also improve the quality of life and survival for these patients. So someone who has congestive heart failure, even if it's symptomatic, can get to the point that they are minimally symptomatic and they can have an almost normal quality of life. Obviously, assuming they take their medications and follow the right diet, follow up to detect when things are not going in the right direction.
We are visiting with the distinguished doctor, cardiologist, Dr. Jairus Rojas Marte. And I should also mention that in addition to being a very talented cardiologist, Dr. Rojas Marte is also the medical director of advanced heart failure and pulmonary hypertension programs at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And our guest, and we're going to make it count here until 9:36 a.m. this morning. You touched on causes, so the high blood pressure, irregular heart rhythm, coronary arterial disease, things like that. What about the risk factors? How big a role does genetics and lifestyle play and contribute in terms of being factors that could lead to heart failure?
Those are a huge component, especially the risk factor part. Genetics, there are specific conditions that can lead to the development of heart failure. There are genetic diseases that are inherited and cause cardiomyopathy. The cardiomyopathy means disease of the heart muscle. There are specific conditions that lead to that, especially in younger individuals who have heart failure. We always try to look for a genetic component. But the vast majority of patients who have heart failure has to do more with the risk factors, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, smoking, kidney disease, sedentary lifestyle, alcohol, consumption for example, by itself, alcohol can lead to a type of heart failure or alcohol cardiomyopathy. But the other major conditions I mentioned in lifestyle, like a high sodium diet, eating salty foods over time can lead to the development of heart failure and blood pressure, high blood pressure first, and then over time, high blood pressure leads to the development of heart failure. And someone who has heart failure who doesn't follow a low sodium diet or control the amount of salt and salty food, that can make it more difficult for the heart failure to be controlled and treated. And those patients usually depend on high doses of diuretics, which is not ideal.
Oof, yeah. Now, I was discussing in your background, the bio that I shared before we began the hour, the half hour that we're doing together, cardiac amyloidosis, which is one of your special interests. I think that comes into play in terms of other diseases that may cause heart failure. Can you speak to that?
Yes, that's there is a growing interest in the medical field nowadays in the cardiac amyloidosis, because now we have several treatment options, which we didn't have before. So that refers to a condition where an abnormal protein produced in the liver, it's a normally occurring protein that carries vitamin A and thyroid hormone. We all have it. But in some people, that that protein becomes abnormal and develops an affinity for the cardiac muscle. So it starts depositing in the heart. So over time, it takes years for this to develop. Over time, the heart muscle gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And as that happens, then it becomes more difficult for the heart to pump or to fill up with blood. And high blood pressure builds up inside of the heart, and that causes the symptoms of heart failure. This is more commonly seen in patients older than 70s. For some reasons, some people have a predisposition to develop an abnormality in this protein. So this is most commonly diagnosed in elderly patients. However, there is a genetic form of this condition, of this amyloidosis condition, and those patients that have the genetic type tend to get diagnosed or have symptoms of amyloidosis at younger ages. And it also can affect the nerves, the peripheral nervous system. So patients with these issues can have also neuropathy, numbing, burning sensation, discomfort in their feet, their hands, carpal tunnel, very commonly seen in this condition. Patients have history of carpal tunnel, even bilateral in both hands. They might have had even surgery for carpal tunnel, for back pain. So those patients who have issues with that should be screened for this cardiac amyloidosis condition. And it's very important to detect it at an early stage, because the treatment we have available doesn't remove the protein that's already deposited in the heart. We can only prevent further deposition of it. So from this, you can take that if we detect it at an advanced stage, it'll be not as helpful for the patient because they will have already advanced symptoms. We can make them or prevent them from getting worse, but the earlier we catch it, the better, given that we can prevent the progression of it and maintain the patient's quality of life.
So important what you just said. We're going to take our one and only break that we take during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. And today, Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents the distinguished cardiologist, Dr. Jairus Rojas Marte. The topic on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents today is understanding and managing heart failure. And as I promised before the interview even began, I told you that Dr. Rojas Marte would put on a masterclass, and he is. When we come back in just a few minutes, Dr. Rojas Marte will talk about, and this is obviously very important to anyone that's dealing with this, what are the signs, what are the symptoms of heart failure? That's next in just a few minutes. Stay with us. I thank you and welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a lot. So when the podcast is uploaded, you can catch the whole first half of today's Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. So not to be worried, you didn't miss anything. But we have a lot more important content in the second half with the distinguished cardiologist from Deborah Heart and Lung Center, Dr. Jairis Rojas Marte. To make an appointment with Dr. Rojas Marte or any of the great doctors and disciplines at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, call 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080. Or you can do from any digital device. You can do so on the web at demanddeborah.org, and you will see the hyperlink that you can go right to scheduling. So you can call and or you can do so digitally. Well, I pre-announced the next topic right going into the last break that we were going to talk about. What are the signs and the symptoms of heart failure? I imagine that's a big deal because if this is the type of thing that gives you some forewarning, it's good to pay attention to that and to, you know, initially talk to your healthcare provider. And, you know, my recommendation would be to reach out to you. Your thoughts about the signs and the symptoms?
Yeah, that's a very important topic to cover. Patients who have congestive heart failure have difficulties with performing physical exertion. And that can start in a very insidious and gradual fashion. I've had patients who are very, very active, who run 3, 4, 5 miles, and they gradually, unconsciously, they just slow down because they might feel that they're getting older or they're not as active. And some people don't just pay attention, to that, and simply they decrease the level of exertion they perform and keep going down until the point that it's too much, that they cannot walk one or two blocks or climb a flight of stairs. For someone more sedentary, it could be more than dramatic or can be noticed sooner. If someone is not super active and they can only walk, let's say, a flight of stairs, and all of a sudden now they have to make two or three breaks and going up the stairs, or start getting short of breath, moving around the house. Another typical symptom of heart failure is the inability to lay flat. So patients have to use multiple pillows at night to sleep. Another one, it's very common, but it's a sign of more advanced disease, is waking up in the middle of the night gasping for air. This tends to get better as soon as the person gets up in the upright position. The symptoms get better, but they feel as if they were drowning. That's something called PND or paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea. Weight gain, a rapid weight gain from fluid buildup. That's why it's important in patients with this condition to monitor their weight on a daily basis. Basically, those are the main type of symptoms. The ones related with difficulty breathing, reduced exercise tolerance, and the ones related with fluid buildup that can cause swelling of the legs, of the belly, can contribute to the fatigue, difficulty breathing, nausea, vomiting. Some patients can develop intolerance to food. They don't feel hungry because of the bloating and all the swelling in the stomach and the intestines. And when more advanced symptoms develop, patients can start losing weight just because they're not absorbing food in the stomach. They don't feel hungry. This is something called cardiac cachexia. The initial symptoms are, just to summarize it, exercise intolerance. That's when someone should look seek help from their physician.
Now, Dr. Rojas Marte, this sounds like a repeat question, but there's enough of a nuance here that I think it is a standalone question. You talked about how it can develop over time. Can it also be a quick onset heart failure?
Yes, definitely. There are, as I said at the beginning, heart failure is the end result of all, maybe I could say, all cardiac diseases. Over time will lead to heart failure. So when we're talking about more severe, more abrupt conditions like a massive heart attack, an infection that damages the valves of the heart, or an uncontrolled arrhythmia that happens suddenly. All those conditions can lead to the development of heart failure. Very high blood pressure, like hypertensive crisis, which is when someone's blood pressure rises to crazy numbers, 180, 200 and higher.
Wow.
And that can lead to the acute development of heart failure.
And with the heart, with the blood pressure, sometimes people have high blood pressure, Dr. Rojas Marte, and they don't even know it, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Like a silent type killer.
Happens very commonly, and actually it's one of the main reasons for people to have heart failure, because if you have high blood pressure for years and you don't know because you don't see a doctor, you don't do preventive health, the heart during those years, the blood pressure is maintained at a high level, the heart is working extra continuously. It's like walking uphill on an endless road. You will get to a point that you will just get exhausted. And as a result of that, the heart, just to compensate or to overcome the resistance from the high blood pressure, the heart then thickens. It happens, a very similar phenomenon as with the amyloidosis that I was mentioning before. But here, it's a more physiologic process. It's like someone going to the gym and lifting weights. So as you do progressive overload and the muscle hypertrophy, like in a bodybuilder, the heart does that as well. Basically, the high blood pressure works as a dumbbell, as weight for the heart, and the heart just gets thicker and thicker over time because of the progressive overload from the high blood pressure. So ultimately, that is a process that is not ideal for the heart, because as the muscle thickens, the pressure inside of the heart builds up. The blood that fills the heart then encounters a smaller cavity, and it's the heart is not as compliant as the blood gets into the heart, into the left ventricle, which is the main chamber of the heart. As the blood gets into the left ventricle, the pressure builds up, and that pressure then goes backwards into the lungs, and that's what causes the shortness of breath.
We are visiting with Dr. Jairis Rojas Marte from Deborah Heart and Lung Center, very talented cardiologist, board certified in advanced heart failure, transplant cardiology, cardiovascular disease, and internal medicine. I counted four there, quadruple threat. And how do you diagnose heart failure?
So given how rich the symptoms and the signs of heart failure are, the shortness of breath, all the typical symptoms I've mentioned, the need for pillows, waking up in the middle of the night, those are key questions that we ask patients. And not everybody will have the same type of symptoms, because the different patients have different degrees or severity of the disease. Some people might have just mild difficulty walking or doing activities they were doing before, but we ask all these questions. How many pillows do you sleep with? Do you get up in the middle of the night? Have you had a decline in your ability to exercise or walk over the past 6 months, a year? Those are the typical questions. And then on physical exam, when we examine patients, we're looking for signs of fluid buildup. We listen to the lungs, look at the legs, the neck for signs of fluid buildup. We listen to the heart, looking for murmurs. But going deeper into the workup, we do blood tests. There are markers that we check in the blood that help us make a diagnosis. But the most important test that we have, it's an echocardiogram. It's a sonogram of the heart that allows us to look at the valves, look at the chambers, look at the pressure inside of the heart. So when we use that with the symptoms that the patients provide, then we are in more than 80% of the cases we can make a diagnosis. We sometimes need to refine the diagnosis because there are different etiologies for heart failure. So we need to refine the diagnosis and sometimes need to do a cardiac MRI or do a cardiac catheterization to make sure that the patient doesn't have blockages in the arteries or measure the pressures inside of the heart. We do that by doing a dry heart catheterization. Sometimes we have to do a biopsy or other imaging tests of the heart, cardiac CTs, et cetera. But for the vast majority of patients with a physical exam, history, blood work and an echo, we can. That's a good start.
So we are in our final minute with Dr. Rojas Marte. The good doctor, covered what heart failure is, the risk factors, you know, all these different things. The one thing we should have you leave everyone with is, so you have it, and all of that, the diagnosis. What treatment options are available for heart failure?
It depends on the type of heart failure. In general, we divide heart failure in two, depending on whether the person has low pumping of the heart or the normal pumping of the heart. If there is low pumping of the heart, which we determine by looking at the ejection fraction, that is the amount of blood that the heart pumps every time it beats. A normal value is around 65%. We say someone has a low ejection fraction when the number is less than 40%. So there are medications that have been shown to improve the longevity of patients with heart failure and low ejection fraction and the quality of life as well. So we try to put these patients on all these. There are four classes of medications. We try to put them all on these four medicines. And when needed, we use diuretics, water pills, to get rid of the fluid. But the most important part for that is the lifestyle. Someone who is already on the medications they need to be on, it's important that they limit the sodium intake, like foods like takeouts, pizza, cold cuts, canned food, highly processed food with a high sodium content. That can be detrimental for patients who have heart failure and should be avoided or limited. It doesn't have to be completely stopped, but limited. The patients who have heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, meaning the pumping of the heart is intact for the most part. The main problem is the pressure that builds up, as I was saying before. In those cases, we try to control the risk factors, the medical problems that exist, like high blood pressure, arrhythmias, weight. If the patient is obese, we try to take care of those and similarly use the water pills, the diuretics, when needed. We always try not to use them because of the downstream effects that they have, especially in the kidneys, dehydration, et cetera. But if needed, we use diuretics as well.
Dr. Rojas Marte, great to visit with you again. Until we meet again, have a great day.
Okay, thank you for inviting me.
Of course, you are welcome.